This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
We're joined live by Jarmo Kekäläinen, general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets. And Jarmo, you didn't really take the perceived, you know, course, the normal course to the National Hockey League general manager position. Can you talk about kind of the course you took and whether you think that course was beneficial to where you are today?
Well, I'm not sure what the normal course is. There's guys from so many different backgrounds, and I've held quite a few hats myself. I've been an agent, and I've been a general manager of a European team, and I've been director of amateur scouting, director of player personnel, and assistant GM in the NHL. But I guess the European background is a little bit different than anybody else. So, you know, it was a long road, but I guess everybody takes different roads to the position.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you obviously filled many different roles, and one of the roles, you started off with the Ottawa Senators in the mid-90s. What was your entry position with that team, and you know, how was your day-to-day work at that time?
Well, actually, Ray Shiro, who's the GM now with the Pittsburgh Penguins, he was the assistant GM with Ottawa Senators, and I was still playing in Sweden. My last year was 94-95, but I was injured most of the year, and Ray sort of knew that I was done for the year and asked me if I could do some scouting for him and watch some games in the Swedish Junior League. So that's how I got started. And I went to the under 18 World European Championships that spring and saw some of the best draft eligible players. And then the year after, I went basically full time with them as a European scout. So that was my starting position, and you know, I was the only one covering Europe at the time, which now seems crazy, but yeah, that was a quick learning experience.
And when you worked in Ottawa, you were also, for a time, you were GM of IFK Helsinki, and you won a league championship in Finland. Would you be able to do both jobs today?
Well, I don't think they allow that anymore. That's the one thing. I think that for at the time it was great because I got to scout a lot of the different leagues in Europe, and got to see some of the talent for both the team in Finland and the Ottawa Senators, and the main focus obviously being with the young kids for the draft. So it didn't interfere, or there wasn't much of a conflict of an interest there. So. But we also drafted some overage Europeans at the time, which was possible back then, and knowing the leagues in Finland and Sweden fairly thoroughly, I think helped me getting myself established in the NHL.
Do you think every team is you know, well prepared for obviously European scouting, or are some teams still more heavily involved than others?
It's a big area. It's like I don't think anybody in the NHL has one guy covering USA or two guys covering Canada and Europe. There's a lot of countries, and I've always believed that players coming from different areas, whether it's Quebec or Western Canada, although the language is the same in Western Canada as it is in Ontario, but in Europe you get Czechs, you get Russians, you get Swedes, you get Finns. They're all coming from different cultures, but also different languages. So in order to get to know them as not only hockey players, but as people and hockey teammates, you'd have to know the language and the culture too. And if you don't know the language, that's almost impossible.
That's interesting. And after your time in Ottawa and in Finland, you moved over to St. Louis. Jarmo, how did you get to St. Louis? And can you kind of talk about your time in the city?
I think my connection there was John Ferguson Jr., whose dad, Senior, was my first boss in Ottawa as the boss for the scouting staff, and a good one he was too. So John Ferguson Jr. worked as a part-time guy on the pro side when he was going to law school in Boston, and I got to know him working together a little bit in Ottawa in the meetings and stuff. And he was assistant GM with St. Louis when I left Ottawa and sort of was looking for something new, something of a fresh start somewhere else, and St. Louis contacted me and offered me a job.
You mentioned John Ferguson Sr., a name that's obviously has great prominence here in Winnipeg. Do you have any stories off the cuff here that you can tell us about John Ferguson Sr. that people would appreciate?
I have many, many stories. I don't know if I can tell them all on radio, but no, He was great. He had so much experience and knowledge and so many great stories from his career as a player, as a manager, all kinds of different things. So I was all ears every time we went out to eat, and he certainly enjoyed the good dinners and occasionally at that time a nice cigar after it too. So he was a character. There was always a lot of great stories. Like I said, I was all ears. I was a young guy just getting started, so I tried to soak it all in and learn as much as possible from him.
I was thinking about my dad's old stories with the John Ferguson and the Jets, and we're joined by Jarmo Kekalainen of the Columbus Blue Jackets, general manager. Jarmo, after St. Louis, you went back to the Finnish Elite League with Jokerit. How much did you obviously were keeping an eye on the league, of course, through scouting and different measures, but how much did the Finnish Elite League change over the course of time for you being in the National Hockey League to returning there full-time?
I think every league evolves a little bit. There's development there, and I think the Finnish League had too, and there were certain things that I sort of had to learn over again, but hockey's hockey, I think, everywhere you go. I think the biggest reason for me was to get back in the saddle as being a manager and mm-hmm. being able to get involved with all the day-to-day things that go with managing a team and being close to the team and its individuals. So, yes, it had gotten a little different, but I think it was still the same, and I think it was the right thing to do for me because I had really missed it, and I got right into the action again, which I love, and it's the closest thing that you can get to after you're done playing.
Of course, and you talk about managing. Managing in Finland, managing in the National Hockey League, what's the biggest difference?
Well, I think the biggest difference is just the rules that we have to play by in the NHL, the CBA. Everything is very clearly regulated here, whereas in Europe it's a little bit of a jungle. Mm-hmm. Everybody's a free agent, and everybody's coaching everybody's players, and it's not only the Finnish team trying to lure your best players from you, but it's the Russian team in the KHL, it's the Swiss teams and the Swedish teams, and so you're balancing all that, trying to keep your best players, and then you have to go and tamper with the other teams yourself to try to lure the best talent from them. So it's a jungle out there, but it's interesting too, and hockey in Finland is as close to a religion as it is in Canada, and I think that's the greatest part about the Finnish League is that people love hockey. They, rinks are full. It's number one sport by far. Mm-hmm. And, every time I go to Canada, I admire the passion that people have for hockey, and I think we get pretty close to that in Finland. We're a little bit smaller country, but we're passionate about hockey.
That's great, of course. And the Olympics upcoming, we're going to see that heightened as usual overseas in Russia. When you left Jokerit, you came obviously back to Columbus, where you are now, and John Davidson, somebody you work with in St. Louis. Did you formally apply for that position, Jarmo, or is that something that John Davidson calls you up and says, I think that you'd be great for this position?
Well, I kept in touch with him over the years that I left from St. Louis. It was just 3 years before that, and we'd worked together for 4 years. And we became friends when I was in St. Louis. So I'd seen him. I visited North America a couple times. I was at the draft in Pittsburgh. I had seen St. Louis play in New York once when I ran the New York Marathon. I kept in touch. But he contacted me when the position became available and wanted to talk to me about it. And one thing led to another, and here I am.
And interesting, obviously, we talked a little bit about how you got to where you are and it's a very interesting background. Player evaluation is something that if you speak to people in the game, they say you're as good as anybody at evaluating a player and making a decision on a player. Is that something that's natural and obviously something you work with that, comes over time, or you kind of have it and then you have to work with it?
Well, I often say that when I was a player, I tried to kind of observe everybody and learn from the players around me and wonder what made them so good and why they were so successful. I probably should have concentrated on playing more and I might have had a better career myself. But it taught me a lot too. I really was intrigued by some of the players and how they became so good. And so the evaluation part was always sort of something that came natural to me, but also I had a really I was really fortunate to be able to work with some of the best evaluators in the game and that became my mentors. You know, one that I always mention is Marshall Johnston.
Right.
But I work with Ray Shiro, I work with Pierre Gauthier, I worked with Rick Dudley, who's a legend in player evaluation himself. But I think Marshall Johnston was the one that really taught me some of the basics that are almost sound naive, that you go to the game to watch the game and you focus on it and you watch it. You don't go there to have a hot dog and talk to all your friends. So he always sat in the corner and he was very organized, very thorough, and just watched the game and evaluated players. And there's a simple truth to that it's hard work that gets you through the details and the repetition to get to know the player's character and heart and hockey sense and instincts, rather than just seeing the obvious of skills and skating and all that every scout can see who understands hockey even a little bit. So I've been fortunate. I've learned a lot from people that have been very successful in this.
That's fascinating. And the Columbus Blue Jackets right now has assembled. In the offseason, you guys brought in Bill Zito as a former agent to join your hockey operations department. Why did you seek out, if you did seek him out, why Bill Zito, and what did you think that he brought to the table that was maybe a little bit different than what you already had there?
Well, I think we share a lot of the same values. He got to, when I got to know Bill in 1995, he had only East Coast Hockey League players as his clients. But he was extremely hardworking. He was passionate about hockey, and the more we talked about it, the more he understood, or more I understood how well he knew hockey. And he was the guy that would always find these guys like Brian Rafalski and Tim Thomas and those guys that nobody really believed in them because of their size or unorthodox style or whatever it was. And sure enough, a lot of those guys became very successful. And I think he's had a great eye on talent, but he also believes in hard work and success through that. And he's just a very good hockey man, and he's an honest, hardworking guy that became very successful in what he did in the agent business, but was really passionate about coming to this side and working in the management of a hockey team. That's what he really wanted to do. A lot of people probably told him that he's crazy doing that because of the business that he had built and the money that he was probably making. But this is what he wanted to do, and I respect people that have that kind of passion for what they want to do.
And you guys in Columbus, John Davidson, yourself, Chris McFarland, and Bill Zito are all working towards obviously making Columbus a contender. You go into that situation, Yarmo, and it's a team that's obviously been struggling for many years to get to the playoffs, you know, against Detroit years back. And before you get there, there's kind of a different outlook on the team, and you've changed that, obviously. But how do you balance, obviously, your plan of trying to build a winner with the fan base's desire to win now?
Well, I think that we always have to keep in mind that the sustained success, the concept that we've been talking about here, is built on drafting and developing a core that is strong, really strong. And at the same time, you know, you want to respect the people around the organization, the fans, the integrity of the whole team, the organization that works for success. So we want to win now. There's no question about it. Well, we're not going to sacrifice the future for trying to win now. So we're building for long term, but absolutely, we're going for the playoffs every year, and we're going to do everything we can to get there. And one of the things that we're trying to do is build a strong culture of winning here, where it's based on hard work on and off the ice. We take everything about preparation very seriously, whether it's about nutrition, off-ice training, rest, efficient travel, getting used to the time change, whatever it is, we're going to try to turn every stone to try to be successful, very prepared, build the confidence of the organization through success, and little by little, it's gonna get on the level where it's going to last, and we're going to have that strong core moving forward.
And final question for you. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, Yarmo. You mentioned agents, you mentioned honesty, you've talked about your time in Finland and Sweden. I'm guessing, I don't know for sure, I'm guessing you had some form of a relationship with Winnipeg's Don Baisley, who recently passed away. And if you did, can you speak about him, your relationship with him, and him as a person?
I think Don was the greatest example that I've met in the hockey business for the great values or strong values, the integrity and the respect that he showed everybody, the time that he spent with his clients to improve them, not only as hockey players but as human beings too. Don was never my agent, but I have a lot of really good friends who had him as an agent and mentor and a friend. And I got to know Don through negotiating with him for players that he represented to play over in Europe, in Helsinki, and through many other conversations that I had with him over the years. And he was a great professional, but he was a lot better human being. And I just hope that I can live up to some of the examples that he set for anybody in this business.
Well, you're certainly well on your way, Jarmo. Thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it very much, and good luck the remainder of the season.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
You've been listening to The Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
Catch The Illegal Curve Hockey Show live Saturdays on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca.